Welcome back, 1160 AM, the Quest, Atlanta's Catholic radio station. We are so glad that you are listening. We would also love it, absolutely love it, if you would become part of our family by calling in as a donor right now, 678-688-4549. We are at $47,220 so far for today. That means that we are at $135,321 so far for the 3 days. And we, our goal is $150,000. So we are just less than $15,000 away from meeting that goal. I really am hoping we meet the goal and we keep right on rolling. That is what I'm hoping for. And we don't come back and interrupt regular programming again for another 6 months. So let's do it. 678-688-4549. When we have these local pledge drives, we also get to bring in great local guests. And right now, our great local guest is Sean Henry. He's from St. Peter Chanel in Roswell, Georgia. And he is here to share with us about all kinds of things. And so, you know, we know that all good things begin with prayer. So if you would lead us in a prayer for this next hour, that would be awesome.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill your hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, by the light of the Holy Spirit, you have taught your hearts of the faithful. In the same spirit, help us to know what is truly right, and always to rejoice in your consolation. We ask this to Christ, O Lord.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
I always love it when somebody leads with a prayer from the Holy Spirit, because I tell people, they say, how do you do this all day? It has to be the Holy Spirit, because I can't even leave an answering machine message without 15 times, right? So, it's got to be the Holy Spirit. So we are talking with Sean Henry from St. Peter Chanel in Roswell, Georgia. And, you know, few rules before we get rolling. We want to ring this bell. We ring the bell every time we get a founder. Founder is $100 a month for 36 months, mm-hmm. or a one-time $3,600 donation. So founder is an automatic ring of the bell. We also ring it every time that we get to a $10,000 mark. So if we get a founder, we will be over $50,000, so you would get to ring it twice. Once for the founder, once for, because we also ring it every time we get to $10,000. The $10,000 mark, we're almost to $50,000, so we'll ring it twice. So let's just ring it a whole lot of times. So Ed is in here with the camera right now. So we actually found out just as our other guest was leaving that we had gotten a founder. So you get to ride on the coattails of our previous guest, and you get to ring the bell for him. So this one is for Randy Rouse, and the person ringing is going to be Sean Henry. So we'll ring it in celebration for that last founder. All right, so that was $3,600 for that pledge. We also had that $1,000 match going on, right? Did we have that $1,000 match going on? So we need to make sure we add that $1,000 in as well. So that's actually $4,600 for Catholic Radio because of that. So, wow, we are just moving along. We are now, we'll get the update and get it total and get our total here in just a minute because it's not in there yet. A few of the other rules is we have giveaways. So we give away an Echo Dot with a founder. So that founder will get the Echo Dot. We give a prayer card of St. Gabriel to everyone who calls in with a pledge of any amount. All monthly donors receive a book of the hour, and the volunteer can tell you what the book is. We are giving away a blessed rosary at the end of the day. It's a drawing, so everybody who donates in any amount goes into the drawing. Let's see. We want to say thank you to Chick-fil-A because they made us happy with breakfast sandwiches this morning and on Tuesday and on Wednesday. So they've been providing breakfast sandwiches to us all week, and that was at the one at Woodstock Road in Roswell. So we are grateful for that as well. If you are hungry, you know, want that spicy chicken sandwich is my favorite. So if you want that, go to the one on Woodstock Road and support them because they supported Catholic Radio. All right. I think that's all of the housekeeping thing that we have. I also have a prayer request. This prayer request is to keep kids active in their faith. If they stray, tell them they can always return. That's a prayer request? Okay. So I guess just pray to keep kids active in their faith. So would you mind leading us in the prayer for that? Thank you.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Dear God, come into all our hearts, guide and protect us always, especially our young people. Lead them on the path of righteousness. Bring them into holiness, in union with the church. We ask this to Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so those are our rules for now. If something else comes up, I'll do it. And I'll also be interrupting you every so often to give out the number since it's a pledge drive. All right, so 678-688-4549. We are talking with Sean Henry. He's from St. Peter Chanel in Roswell, Georgia. Everybody who comes on as a guest, almost across the board, has a story to tell about how God has prepared them along the way for the position that they are now in, sitting across from me on Catholic Radio. My guess is you're no exception. So let's go ahead and find out a little bit about you and your history and what brought you here to Catholic Radio.
Okay, so of course I was invited to be on the show.
Yes.
I'm grateful for that and like to express thank you to the Catholic Radio. I'm a very good listener all the time.
Yeah. Good. All right. That's good to know. Okay.
So you want to know a little bit about myself?
A little bit about yourself.
I was born in a small little island in the Caribbean. It's called Antigua. I grew up there till I was about 19 years old. I moved here 19 and a half, turning 20. In 1992, I moved to Boston. And there I spent 2 years in Boston. And after I couldn't find any work there in Boston, I decided to move to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And then I moved here, and I worked for a little bit in a restaurant as a waiter. And then after the restaurant was closed, I decided to find a job in a salad bar. And then soon after that, I met my wife. Okay. And I met my wife, and then we got engaged and became married. Yeah, so.
And what year was that?
So I moved to Georgia in 1994, uh-huh. And December 1994. I met my wife August of 1996, right after the Olympics.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And so, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I gave my wife my number, and then a few weeks later she had called me, and then we had started dating. And a couple of years later, I've asked her to marry me, and then during that time, we were dating. She said, "Our children has to, if we ever get married, our children would have to be Catholic." And I just said, "I didn't care; it didn't matter to me whether they're Catholic or not." Mm. And then after we had children, she said to me, "They're going to be baptized Catholic." So I said, "Okay, that's fine too; it didn't matter for me." And that's where I was in my journey to my faith. And then if it wasn't for children, I don't think I would ever become Catholic, or maybe not go to church or even change my life around from the path I was going down.
Mm-hmm. So were you going to church with your wife or?
No, maybe once or twice. And mm-hmm. then we decided to go to a Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I think we did it maybe because we want to get our kids baptized. Mm-hmm. And then after the kids were baptized, we stopped going to church. We were just going on and off because mm-hmm. we moved from Sandy's, from Vinings up to Kennesaw. And then we never stopped going to church and all that stuff. And then not till we moved, we ended up going back to church again. However, before that, let me backtrack. Before that, when we're in Kennesaw, we used to go walking and pushing our kids around in the running stroller with my neighbor. And my neighbor, he was Mormon, and he said to me, "Don't you go to church on Sundays?" Because he's always going to church on Sundays. And I said, "No, I don't go to church." And I said, "Because I have to work." Yeah. And he said, "Well," he was right. He's at the time he said, well, you need to find a job that allows you to go to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
And that lesson have been with me ever since that time, because he was right about going to church and making time for church, and which I did eventually. Yeah. So after we moved from Kennesaw up into Woodstock, we were on our way. After we moved into the house, we were on our way to Home Depot. And when we were driving to Home Depot and turn into where the church would be, we saw a soccer field in the back, which was at the time wasn't a soccer field. It was just a field where Queen of Angels Catholic School was. And as we were driving down to where the school was, it opened up into the whole complex where you have the church, the school, and the high school. So there, and then we, what I thought was a soccer field at the time was just a Queen of Angels Catholic School playing field where they play. And then when we got there, we saw the church, we saw the school, and my wife said, I want to raise my children here.
Mm.
And I said, well, sure, I don't care. It didn't matter to me where you
raise
them.
You were just like, sure, I don't care. Boy, yeah, that's easy to get along with.
Yeah, so yeah. So we started going to that church. This was 2002. So my wife signed it up for the church. So in 2002, we were going for a whole year before I decided to become a Catholic But before we started going to the church, the first Sunday we actually went to that church, our children were so excited about going to church, they ran to the very front of the church.
Yeah.
My wife and I snuck into the back of the church, and I told my wife to go get the kids. And she said, I'm not going over there.
Yeah.
And then after a few minutes or so, we decided to walk up to the very front of the church on Mary's side, and we've been there ever since.
Nice.
So I became a typical Catholic, always in the same seat every Sunday.
Every Sunday. Nobody better get your pew either, by gosh. You're going to shove them right out of there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I start looking around the church, and I've noticing things now that I never noticed while we were at Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were just going to Holy Spirit just because. Mm-hmm. But because my oldest daughter was baptized with Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and like we said, when I moved to Kennesaw, we just stopped going altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And then not until we went back to the church at St. Peter when I started realizing and noticing different things, the statues in the church, or for Mary or Joseph. I sat on Mary's side all this time, not knowing they have different section. And somebody said, meet us at church and meet us on Joseph's side.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We weren't going to go Joseph's side because we've been sitting on Mary's side all this time.
Yeah.
You don't change.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So that's a little bit about how I got into the church.
Yes.
And then how I became Catholic. I think, like I said, it's by accident that we actually ran into the church. Okay, we were just going to Home Depot, mm-hmm. and we just saw this field in the back, and we decided to drive to the field.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool to go back then. Then we saw the whole entire campus. You know, so it was kind of cool to do that.
Isn't the Holy Spirit amazing? Yeah. Amazing mm-hmm. how He works and really brings us where we want to be. So you were not Catholic at that point?
No.
Okay.
So I got a friend told me once. He was walking his dog. He lived in the townhomes right next to St. Peter. So he walked his dog every single day on the campus there.
Yeah.
He never thought in his lifetime he'll ever be in there because he was Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
He would never walk in there.
Yeah.
And then every day walking, and he was tugged into the chair. He went in to look inside.
Yeah.
And then a priest said one time, you don't know how God is speaking to you until you enter. Right, because that's why the stained glass windows don't speak to you until you actually see them from the inside.
Yes.
When the sun's shining on it. So
true, isn't it? That is so true.
Yeah.
What a great mm-hmm. observation and so true. Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm going to interrupt just for a second because mm-hmm. we have a message for you, and I want to give out the phone number again, 678-688-4549. We are now at $48,690 so far for today. Woohoo! That means we are only $1,310 away from ringing the bell again. Who can be the hero that gives $1,310 so that Sean Henry can ring the bell? Come on, let's do it. $1,310 and we ring the bell again, or any part of it. Maybe you can just give the $10. Maybe you can give $100. Maybe you can give the $1,200. Whatever it is, give us a call, 678-688-4549. You can actually take that 310 and divide it by 12 too and give it over a year's period of time mm-hmm. and it counts. Come on, give us a call, 678-688-4549. We're also at $136,790 for the week, and that means that we are just about $13,000 away mm-hmm. from meeting our goal for the 3 days. And the competition, we are still at 8 for All Saints, 21 for St. Bridget, 9 for St. Michael's, and 15 for Christ the King. Come on, guys. We want to pump up this fish fry competition as well. 1 point is for a single for a one-time donation, 2 points for a monthly, and 3 points for a founder if you want to vote in the competition about who has the best fish fry. So come on, let's do it. We got lots of things going on, and we're running out of time. We're at almost 4:20. We only are on the air till 7. Then we go back to regular programming, so we got to raise as much money possible as we can before we go back to regular programming. 678-688-4549. I'm talking with Sean Henry. He's from St. Peter Chanel in Roswell, Georgia. And a shout out to Sean Henry, to our missionary brother. By your example, you inspire us to live our Catholic faith fully and joyfully and to be better friends, husbands, and fathers. God bless you and your family. But it doesn't say who from, but obviously some of your mm-hmm. brothers, your missionary brothers. That's awesome. All right, so we'll find out about missionary. We're going to finish up the conversion story, and then we'll talk about missionary among many other things. So go ahead with your conversion story.
Yes, so after entering the church, I started sitting in the pew like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I was always, from the end of Mass to my car, it would take me about a minute, yeah. maybe even less. Yeah. And not until I have actually gone to a retreat that's called Christ Renew His Parish mm-hmm. that I actually felt as part of the family of the church. Mm-hmm. I went to this retreat, and it was a phenomenal retreat. It's renew your faith into the church, because if you're just going through the motions and you can't find yourself in the church, this retreat was one of those stepping stone. And I did that retreat, and now after the retreat, it takes me like an hour to leave the church because my wife had to pull me and tell me, let's go, because now I'm part of the church. It's almost like I'm a family now, so I'm enjoying being Catholic. And every Sunday, it was always want to go to church every Sunday. I don't know if I ever missed Mass ever since that time.
Yeah.
So I'm always making sure I'm at Mass, and everybody knows me at church, so they always want to speak with me. So it was kind of nice to do that retreat to revitalize my faith, to help me want to do more.
Yes.
And after I received that faith renewal, now I want to help people. So I'm doing missions, and I'm doing local missions where I'm sleeping at the homeless shelter downtown mm-hmm. with our Brother Knights and our men's club that we do once a year. And then when I'm not doing that, I'm doing missions, overseas mission. And also just doing missions locally right here at, in Roswell at nursing home. Mm-hmm. So my faith is just driving me in different direction to help people. Mm-hmm. And then, so I'm never sitting quietly. So one of the things I always try to do, because most of the time people say, you need to start doing the missions at home.
Yeah.
And sometimes I fail at being the mission, mm-hmm. doing the mission at home. And I find myself doing it much better on mission trips. And I said to myself, I need to be able to do all these mission on my home first, and I can become a better mission, a unifier at my house, and then I can be a better missionary. So I'm always trying to grow spiritually by leading by example, and so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. And it is true. It's harder to do it at home. It's mm-hmm. absolutely harder.
Yeah.
You know, I have 8 kids, been married almost 38 years. Mm-hmm. It is harder. It is absolutely harder to do it at home. My husband, when we would pray the rosary with our kids when they were little, mm-hmm. his prayer intention was always that he will be a better father tomorrow than he was today. a better husband and father, a better husband and father tomorrow than I was today. And so it's always a constant growth, isn't it? In all of our lives, we have to be constantly trying to grow closer to God, because we're never going to get it this side of heaven. You know, there's always room for growth, always, always, always. I was told that I should ask you about your early childhood living conditions. So I'm going to give out the number again, and then if you'll share that, and then I want to move into the missions, because I'm really excited about tackling each of those things that you do. Number to call is 678-688-4549, 678-688-4549. And always, if I ask you something you don't want to answer, just say, I don't want to answer it. So, you know, if you don't want to talk about your early childhood, that's fine too.
I'm happy to do so.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. All right. So in my country, it's a commonwealth, small little commonwealth islands, 108 square miles, beautiful beaches. But from the outside looking in, that's all you see, beautiful beaches, nice hotel. But on the outside of that, there's the living conditions are a little different from living in a hotel or visiting as a tourist. However, so at the age 13, my mom left Antigua to Boston on a work visa, where she'll be a living maid. She did that for 7 years, and for 7 years I did not see my mother. And I didn't grow up with a father. My father left my mom when I was 9 months old. And so I've never had the fatherly love around me. So, and after my mom left, I was 13 years old at the time. I was supposed to be living with an aunt that her sister on the island there. But when my mom left, I realized that I really didn't have to do that. So I decided to stay back in the small little village of my brothers and not go with my aunt where I was supposed to stay. However, at age 13, as soon as my mom left, I also left school. I did not finish school. At age 13, I left. Then for the next 7 years, I was running around the village, doing nothing, and then eventually I end up on the beach as a beach guard, working as a beach guard on the beach where you clean the beach, working for a hotel. And then at the time I couldn't swim either. Most people in the islands don't swim.
Really?
Yeah. So I was working beach guard, and then after closing of the beach down and the night's over, you go to the water sports shop, and then you hang out. And then when that's over with, you're not hanging out anymore, then you go to the dive shop. The dive shop is always open. And then I eventually start working at the dive shop, and I start working on the dive boat, scuba diving every day, and that become part of my life now, on the beach every day, scuba diving and working. And then my mom was still in the States. I haven't heard from her or seen her in all this time. So when my mom finally came back, it was 1992, and she was gonna come back to take me, my brother, and another sister, which are all were which was like under 18 years old, that she was able to take with her as minors. And that's how I end up here in the States with my mom. But before then, we lived and worked on the island there. And then, let me go back for a second here. During the time I was going to school, we were always cutting school, because there was one boy always wanted to beat me up. And then one day he said, at 3 o'clock, he's going to beat me up. So I said, okay, I'm not going back to school anymore. So that's the time I remember leaving school altogether, because I was afraid of a fight. I've never fought in school because I was a little wimp, so to speak. And then let me bring it to another story that before I was 13, when 12, 11 or so, we were all cutting school. So I remember going up on a hill in a pasture, and there was a huge tank, maybe about 12 by 10 tank. And inside this tank would have this. I'll describe it for you. So it'll have a metal inside, like a sharp metal inside there. So in the center. So on both sides, we usually dive in because it's filled with water. We jump in, and all of something wrong could have happened to anybody, it never happened, because when the water was emptied one time, we went out there to swimming and the water was empty, the tank was empty, we noticed that there was a metal that one of us could have hit our head on and could have drowned in there, and it never happened. So I think God was just watching over us, mm-hmm. whether we know it or not. God was just watching over us the whole time we were doing all this mischief stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then back up to where I'm at. When my mom came back to Antigua, she was coming to Antigua to get the three of us, the youngest three of all the six kids, of the seven children. So we went to the embassy there in Barbados, and then we stayed there for 3 weeks, where the embassy, they were doing all these tests to make sure that we didn't have any disease or anything that could be transmitted back up to the States. And once everything cleared, we were able to leave Antigua and come to the States.
Yeah.
So it was a trend when I, and then we moved to Boston. We landed in Boston. It was a cold February 27, 1992. Last 27th February, we celebrated our 27th year of being in the States.
Congratulations. That's awesome. So what did you do for education when you came to the States? Did you go back and get a degree or?
I did eventually. I promised my oldest daughter when she go to high school, I would do the same thing.
Nice.
Yeah, she's now in college, the second year in college. So in 2013, she went to high school, and not her. When she went to high school, and now I also went and get my GED at the same time.
Yeah.
But, of course, it's a general education, so a little faster than high school. So I always joke with my children before they graduate, I'm actually smarter than them because I already have a high school diploma.
Yeah.
and then they're always making fun. Well, I'm going to get mine soon.
Yeah.
So 2013, I did that, and all my friends celebrated with me after the completion of that. So that was exciting, too.
That is exciting. Yes. Very, very exciting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have an update. Actually, I'm not. Let's see. We still have just that one donation, so we'd love to get the phone lines ringing. We are at $48,690. That means we just need $1,310 to get up to the $50,000 mark. Come on, we ring the bell at $50,000. We just need $1,310. That's it. Just 1,310, 678-688-4549. Come on, give us a call. Everything we have comes from God. Can we give just a little bit back to God by calling and letting the Holy Spirit work through these airwaves? The number to call, 678-688-4549. We are talking with Sean Henry. He's from St. Peter Chanel in Roswell, Georgia. And we've been talking about a lot of things about what brought him to the United States, about what his life was like, about his conversion to Catholicism. We've had your missionary brothers that called in and called in on your behalf. So let's talk a little bit about the missionary work that you do. You said you do the going out to missions. Mm-hmm. You also do homeless shelters and nursing homes. Where should we start?
Missions.
Yes. Let's do it.
All right. So I was sitting in a pew at Mass. It's 11 years ago.
Okay.
And I'm sitting in a pew at Mass. My wife having known my story, the priest came. This is Father Remkinson. He came and he was describing the work that he does in Jamaica and how he got it started. And he also was describing the conditions in one place in Nicaragua where this is called Christ in the Garbage Ministry, where the children wouldn't take dirt and chicken fat. And this is a story he's telling us. And make the dirt and chicken fat together, and they'll make cookies out of that, and that's what they would eat. So that kind of spoke to me when he was talking that. My wife gave me a nod, just said, you should start doing that mission. That sounds like something you would love to do. So I said, okay. I signed up for the mission right away, and then I couldn't find the people that was in charge of the mission because in a panic and a rush to find out who did the mission, because the mission was going and I wasn't on it. So, I, and one day I decided to go ask for the front desk who does the mission, and they told me who the person was, and I contact them, and I was on that mission, and I met one of my best friend now, which is Oscar Tanaka. He's my best friend, and we've been doing the mission for the past 10 years, and this year is our 11th year. We're actually not going together this time. He's going on a later mission. I'm going on an earlier mission to Jamaica along with my daughter for the second time.
Nice.
So, and then that's the mission is actually mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
And then right now we also do Mission of the Poor, which we do in Haiti. So, and that's once a year also. And then this past November, we were doing that one. So I was excited to go on the mission for a bunch of new people. And it's like, I like taking these mission trips, and I also like to take new people on this trip because it's so rewarding to see other people caring and sharing and giving what they giving back or giving to people that they don't know, especially people that don't know. That, I mean, that's the hardest part, is to help somebody you don't know or to embrace them. Yeah. So that's,
So we're at 48-690-678-688-4549. So what, often whenever we give, like what you were giving for the mission trip, we're giving of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, people say, oh, that's wonderful. And it is. It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. But it seems like when we give of ourselves like that, we get back so much more. So can you maybe talk about that a little bit?
Yes. So almost like every mission, there's always a roadblock. Your mission is ready to go, and there's a roadblock. Something happened in your business, you can't go.
Yeah.
Something happened with your family, you can't go. It's always this roadblock, and that almost like the devil is putting all these roadblocks and saying, you can't do this, you can't do this. Yeah. And then, and because of your giving, God just opened up. Like, for instance, when we go on this mission trip, recruiting is pretty hard. And sometimes easy, sometimes hard. But when it's hard, you always want to cancel. And you said, no, just let it go. The mission is going regardless of the numbers.
Yeah.
And then when a week or two or 3 weeks before that, you'll see a swarm of people coming and wants to go on this mission. Yeah. Because things open up. Because you've been praying that things open up for people to make it. So if you allow yourself to go on these mission, things will work themselves out.
Yeah, excellent. All right, so then I guess homeless shelters. Number to call 678-688-4549. 678-688-4549. We have had one call that I'm aware of, and that was for $100. So we're at 48-690. So we are just $1,310 away from being at 50,000, where we ring the bell. Still looking for that hero, looking for that big hero that's going to call in and let Sean Henry ring the bell. Right now, that amount for that hero is only $1,310, but you got to do it quick because we only have him for about 20 more minutes. Come on, can somebody give us a call? $1,310 or any portion of that, or call in as a founder, that would put us over the top and we would ring it twice. Come on, give us a call, 678-688-4545. There's got to be somebody out there that wants to be the hero that lets him ring the bell and really supports Catholic Radio. That's really what it's all about.
Right.
We have fun. We tease. We talk about ringing the bell. It's really just a celebration and a little bit of fun. That's all we're trying to do. The main objective is to raise the necessary funds for Catholic Radio. We're talking about missions. It was St. Therese who said some people give to the missions by going. And some people go to the missions by giving. Mm-hmm. And the mission of Catholic Radio is to save souls. Mm-hmm. So when we give to Catholic Radio, we are giving to the mission of saving souls. And, we had the one person this week who called in and said they'd been listening to the Quest and they were entering the Catholic Church because of what they heard. Awesome. We hear all the time about people coming back to confession after many, many years, quitting contraception, being open to life for the first time, certainly, You know, sometimes smaller things, like they're just more kind or more knowledgeable about their faith. I say small, but those are still important things. And, you know, we really can't put a dollar amount on any of those things. There's no way that we can give enough to say thank you for this soul that was lost and is now back. Right. You know, we can't give enough money for that. But we can give whatever the Holy Spirit is asking us to give. And that's what we're asking you to do right now, is to pick up the phone and give us a call, 678-688-4549. Whatever amount that you can give, whatever you can give, that's what we want. It was Father Kimberling during a pledge drive once who told me it's equal sacrifice, not equal gift. And you know, that's so true, because, you know, my $50 compared to, you know, I don't know, what we have, Lynn Wood, the attorney, gave us $5,000. Yes. You know, he just sat down in the chair, gave us $5,000. We've had donors that gave $10,000 matching pledges. Whatever it is, whatever you can give, please just pick up the phone and give us a call, 678-688-4549. Carol got it all rolling. She got Quest going. We've had many people who have said, thank you. We waited for Catholic Radio for so long in Atlanta, and thank you for getting it started. But now she needs your help. You know, we got to keep the bills paid. We got it going. It's up and running. You get to hear what you have. And now it's just, do you still want it? Do you want to keep it around? Do you want to help with the mission of saving souls through Catholic Radio? And if you do, then the number to call, 678-688-4549, 678-688-4549. We're talking with Sean Henry. He's from St. Peter Chanel in Roswell, Georgia, and been talking about so many incredible things. Let's talk about the homeless shelters that you go to. Is that all right that we move to that next? I've heard about it a couple times this week from other people, and it's an amazing thing that you do. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So quick note here. So these mission trips that we go on, I've always tell people, I don't wish the trip on anybody, but I still want you to go. Because number one, when you go, your life is going to change.
Yeah.
Maybe not the first day or the second day, once you get in there and start doing the work, you'll get comfortable, and then something will change you.
Yeah.
It'll work. Yeah. So, and then on the homeless shelter downtown, St. Francis Table. So during the winter months, our St. Peter Chanel will go down to the shrine there, and then they'll get the number of nights. The men's club and the knights will go down there, and they'll get the number of nights that they would like to serve the homeless man that comes into the shelter in the winter months. And then they'll bring those number of nights back to the church, and then they'll get volunteers to go down, and I'll do that also. And we do it annually with a couple of other guys. Usually take six of us, go down there. And then we'll go down there, we serve dinner to the men, we eat the same food they eat, we sleep where they sleep, and we serve them to the night. And then once we serve the night, they bed down, they take a shower, they bed down by 8 o'clock, because they've already been assigned to the spot. The shelter is very, very, very well run, so every homeless people knows that, and they want to get into that one shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to, when they let them in, they have to make sure, because some of the times these men can actually go back in society and become successful part of society again if they choose to, because that's the goal of the homeless shelter. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we can't ask them why they're homeless, but if they're more than welcome to share all that stuff with us if they want to. But our goal is to go down there and help them.
Mm-hmm.
if they want to be helped. And then your kids will come down there and help serve dinner, and then the kids will go back home, and then you'll leave in the morning afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Saturdays, like every Saturday, they also serve the mass of homeless people that's in the city of Atlanta, which they said sometimes like 10,000 of them in the city. And they open up the St. Francis Table again, serve the men and women that are homeless on the street down there. And they give them a care package. In other words, a hygiene kit on the way out and lunch.
Because
believe it or not, some homeless people are not always not working. Some of them do work, they just don't have a place to live. Mm-hmm. And then maybe by coming there, they get something hot, warm to eat, and then they can go off to their job. But our goal is, like I said, is always to see if they can actually come back into the workforce and be productive part of society again. And that's why we serve people, because we always know there's always hope to help people to revitalize themselves and to be productive part of society. Yeah, yeah. So.
And so have you, you know, I always like the silver lining in all of it. I always like to hear the success stories. Mm-hmm. Have you seen anyone who has been positively affected by your service and the service of others in the homeless shelter? So I'll let you think about that while I give out the phone number. 678-688-4549. 678-688-4549. Again, we are talking with Sean Henry. He's from St. Peter Chanel in Roswell, Georgia. And we are grateful that he is here. We are absolutely 100% grateful. What a great message he has to share with each one of us about just really seeing the face of Christ in everyone, whether that's at the homeless shelter or at the missions, or you said in your own home, starting in your own home. And that's really where it all begins. And I was telling somebody yesterday, I think it was, that there was a time when I had a child that was being really difficult. I mean, big time difficult. And I would just get down on my knees in the morning and I would say, Lord, just help me see your face in him today. Just help me to see your face in him today. And, you know, I think it worked, you know, and it just, but it was a tough time. And I do think that sometimes in family, because, you know, it's personal. It's a personal thing, you know, it really is. And so I think it's harder for us to maybe minister in our own families sometimes.
Right. So I can't say for sure I have impacted people, but I have experienced people that have moved from being homeless back into the productive part of society. I'll give you an example, two cases. I was in Haiti a couple of years ago, and then I was walking in the streets of Haiti, and then one boy, Richard, Sean, and then he walked up to me, and he said, you remember me from the year before, a few years back, when he was in the shelter, in the Missionary of the Poor. So this young man had came into the Missionary of the Poor when he was a young boy, and now back out of the mission now that are productive part of society.
Yeah.
He have gone to school the whole time. He was in the mission and he graduated high school and now is working.
Yeah.
So that was one example I noticed. And then this past November in Haiti, I saw one man. He was the carpenter maintenance on the mission in the compound. And then said, his name is Victor. And he was the maintenance guy. He was part of the homeless that they were sheltering while he was a boy. And now he had grown up, and now he had learned. The brothers there taught him a trade, and now he's the maintenance and carpenter on the island there. So I was talking to him, and he speaks English, because what's one thing that brothers do when you come into the mission? They have to learn English, because the brothers think that's how you're gonna get. You're gonna grow successfully into become something.
Yes.
So he was there, and we talked forever, and I said I'm excited that you're doing this, and I hope you keep doing what you're doing here. Cause the brothers have put a lot of resource into you, and now you're giving them what you've learned back in your skill that you've learned.
Yeah.
So that was awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah. That is so awesome. And how about at the homeless shelter? Do you see anything there? It's probably a little bit harder, maybe.
Yes, it's a little harder, homeless shelter, because when we're at the homeless shelter, we're so focused on security and getting them fed and getting them clean and getting them to bed.
Yeah.
So there was one guy there that was coming into the homeless shelter during the winter months, and he works. He was a maintenance. He was a landscaper. So he had to take a train to get to where he's working. So I was talking to him, and he said he's saving enough money to get a car, and hopefully by the end of the year, he will be able to get a car. And this is by just talking to him. So I'm not sure if what I've inspired him to do anything to with his life or not. But that was one person I ran into that was actually on a path to become to get back into to become a productive part of society. So
This is coming to me, so I'm just gonna put it out there. But you know, we were driving in, you know, Kansas City is where I come in from to do the pledge drives, and we were driving and there was snow on the ground, and we go by a bus stop and there's somebody there with canvas shoes, no gloves, obviously not warm for the weather that we were in. And I still have, believe it or not, I still have a 15-year-old son. You know, I've got kids from 36 down to 15. And so I still have a 15-year-old son. He was with me. And I said, gosh, Mark, look how blessed we are. You know, look how blessed we are. We're in a warm car. You know, it's 0 degrees outside. We're in a warm car, not standing at a bus stop. We've got gloves. We've got boots. You know, look how blessed we are. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, Mom, did you see the cell phone she was holding? And, you know, sometimes they don't make the and I don't make the right decisions either. But I wasn't sure exactly how to answer him because, you know, you're right. Sometimes they don't always make that plan of get my car so that I can work, so that I can, you know, make money so that I can get out of the homeless shelter. And so how do you do anything at the homeless shelter to help them with the good decisions?
So the homeless shelter have this program. And the program is winter months where they have a lot of people that actually do have homeless people have jobs, but just can't afford enough money to build up to get into an apartment. So what they do is house them. And then like Jose, take for instance, Jose feed the hungry there and Thanksgiving and Christmas time. So they will open up a Turner Field. We used to do that Turner Field. All the homeless come in at this time of the year, and they get able to use the showers and the bath, and then they give them shave and stuff like that. And there's always opportunity for them to get housing. This is the program: get housing and to get off the streets and to start becoming productive. Right. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they're able to move people into that direction. People do that. Some of the people, of course, they're mentally ill, so sometimes they can't help a lot of people. I'll give an example. So my friend was taking his kids down because there's something called Seven Bridges, where the people live under the bridges, and then you go visit those people, the minister to them. So my friend was taking his two sons. They were arguing the day before Christmas, and they were going down after Christmas to the homeless, to the Seven Bridges. They were arguing the whole time on the way down. The nerve gun they didn't get, the two boys. And then when they got to the area where they're gonna meet up to start going to serve the people, they give them the hygiene kit and the lunch bag so they can start go out to underneath the bridge. And before they give the goodie bag or the hygiene kit or the sandwich bag to the homeless guy, they have to pray. Mm-hmm. So one of the boys walk up to one of the men and ask the man, "Hey, how are you today?" And the guy said, "I'm great." And then they said, "How are you great when you're living on the street?" Mm-hmm. The guy said, "Well, we just yesterday at Turner Field, we went over there, took a bath, they shaved us, and they give us these lunch bag and the hygiene." You know what I mean? So that's what the guy was telling the young man, and the young man just said, "You don't have anything. How could you be happy, right?" Mm-hmm. But then he told the young man what had happened to him yesterday. You got his dinner, you got a shave, you got a shower, and so he's happy about that. Mm-hmm. So on the way back home, my friend Tucson didn't talk one word. Mm-hmm. There was moved by the experience. So, so there's opportunity for the homeless people to move from being homeless to productive part of society, because there's opportunity for them to do that each year. Feed the Hungry does that.
Yeah.
So.
Excellent. Okay, well, we only have about 5 minutes left, so I'm going to give out the number again. We are still trying to get up to $50,000 to ring the bell. Come on, we can do it. We just need 1,000 $310. $1,310 is all we need, and we ring the bell. 678-688-4549. Come on, let's let Sean ring the bell. We really want to do this in celebration. Most importantly, we want to give the Catholic Radio the necessary funds to stay on the air and to stay strong in Atlanta. So give us a call. You can also still vote for your favorite fish fry. If you want to give us a call, they'll tell you how to vote for the Knights of Columbus Council that has the best fish fry. 678-688-4549. Talking with Sean Henry, we haven't talked about nursing homes. So what about the ministry to nursing homes?
Okay, so the nursing home is in Roswell on Green Street. Mm-hmm. So every once a month, they play bingo there every Saturday. So once a month, we will go with a bunch of us with our kids.
Yeah.
If they're not doing something at the time. So we'll go over there and we play bingo.
Yeah.
And those people love bingo. I mean, they look forward to that bingo every week.
Yeah.
And then you give them quarters, and that's the highlight.
Yeah.
If anybody bingo, they get a quarter. And if you don't have a quarter, you're in trouble.
Nice.
So a lot of the nursing home over there, a lot of times, is not the same as the luxurious nursing home down the street where you get family visiting family members and they're taking them out for dinner and stuff like that. The nursing home on Green Street, people don't go in there and take their family out. They're just there. And sometimes you don't see family member forever. Mm. So when we're there, it's the people, their face just glow because people are visiting them.
Yeah.
And so... So we've been always trying, and there are a lot of Catholics that are there too, and they don't get anybody visiting them. So we have asked our priests if we can take communion there. So they've recently, say, St. Thomas Aquinas recently gave that homeless shelter as part of St. Peter Parish. And now we're now able to take communion to them, the people that wants communion. But anyway, so we meet a lot of different people there that they want to tell you their story, tell you how they got there. And so they're just there. So no visitors. So we visit them, and it's amazing how when they're accepted like one of their own family. Yeah. You know, so that's all the family comes in if it's us coming in visiting them on once a month.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. So if somebody here is listening and their heart is being touched to either do missions, to do homeless shelters, to do nursing homes, what should they do next?
The me?
Yeah.
Oh.
What should they do? How could they do what you're doing?
Well, you got to prayerfully consider what God is calling you to do. I was brought into this place where I am now because of one talk that I've at my parish that the priest talked about, and he talked about the making of the cookies with the chicken fat. And the dirt. I myself, at one time, which I didn't say, I myself at one time had been part of this growing up. I didn't make the chicken fat with the dump, but we're always going, we went to the dump at one time in our lives to get food. Mm. And then we will go to a place where the airport throw away all the food off the plane into a dumpster, and that's where we'll go. Mm-hmm. And we will dig through the garbage like this. So when the priest came to our church and was talking about this, it was close to my heart. And that's why my wife gave me the nudge and said, you should do that because that's part of you. And that's how I end up on the mission because it was something was speaking to me through what I've experienced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the mission trips that you do are through Mustard Seed communities. Mm-hmm. So they could just Google Mustard Seed communities and see when the next one's coming up. Mm-hmm. The nursing home that you go to again?
So it's Roswell Nursing Home. It's off Green Street, downtown Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also do Missionary of the Poor. We do once a year annually.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little rough right now in Haiti, so I'm not sure if we'll be able to go to Haiti. But Missionary of the Poor is also in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
So
they can Google Missionary of the Poor and find out the information for that one as well. Mm-hmm. How would they meet up with a group at the nursing home to do nursing home ministry?
Well, you don't have to meet up with any group. You can go just whenever you want.
Own.
Because
gotcha.
The people there are just hungry for somebody to visit them.
Yeah.
Because they just sit there all day long. Sometimes you walk, you drive down the street, they sit there pushing their cart, their wheelchair out, and nobody's pushing them.
Yeah.
And then, so... Yeah. They're just there. You can just stop by whenever you feel like doing that.
Okay. So. Excellent. Lots and lots and lots of inspiration. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for sharing so personally with us and really sharing from your heart. And thank you for all of the great things that you're doing. So we only have 1 minute. Can you kind of give us, I got a shout out to you here. And then if you would give us like last thoughts and a prayer. All right. So the shout out is from Kyle. Always remember the mission trip to Jamaica with you 7 years ago and the lucky chicken foot. What's the lucky chicken foot? We got to hear that. Lucky chicken foot.
Well, I don't remember. Oh, yeah. Oh. Huh?
He was putting it on people's shoulders.
Oh, yeah. So the chicken foot that somebody was killed a chicken, live chicken, and had it, and we found a chicken foot and we were putting it on people's shoulder.
Oh my. I think that would have creeped me out. How about you? Yeah. I was like, I don't know if I would have considered that. Lucky or not. Yeah. Okay, so final prayer.
All right. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Dear God, we want to thank you for this opportunity that you give us to raise the fund for Catholic Radio. Continue to let us grow in love and holiness. Come into our hearts. Help us to live your word and share it with one another, especially people we don't know. We ask this to Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Wow. Okay, so 678-688-4549. We are going to take a short break, and then we are going to be back with Focus Missionaries from Georgia Tech Catholic Center. And so stay tuned, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.